This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Fiction writers hoping to live off their wits and words have a hard road to hoe in contemporary America. Short of being independently wealthy or moving in with your parents, most aspiring writers get pulled toward one of two centers of gravity for American fiction writers: getting a master's and eventually a teaching job in an academic writing program, or moving to New York to get a day job until you make enough of a name for yourself to land a book deal. In either case, you will likely spend large sums of money on tuition or on rent in pursuit of a dream achievable by few. 2 years ago, Chad Harbach, editor and founder of N Plus One magazine, addressed the two-headed system in an essay called MFA versus NYC. Now, that article struck a nerve with plenty of writers, and Chad has taken it a step further, compiling a collection of essays on what the two-headed system has meant for writers and writing. Chad Harbach is also author of the best-selling novel The Art of Fielding, and we welcome you to Word of Mouth.
Thanks, Virginia.
Well, you write that some of the people who read that original essay, MFA versus NYC, found it depressing. What was the response?
Well, yeah, you know, the essay was printed in, it was in N Plus One, as you mentioned, and then it was posted online at Slate. And there was a lot of discussion afterwards, a lot of people writing to me and to N Plus One, you know, many of whom found my essay really depressing. I hadn't sort of conceived of it as such because, you know, if you look at it historically, it's always been incredibly difficult for a writer to make a living. That was true 150 years ago, it was true 50 years ago, and it's true today. And the kind of specifics of that change, but I think that, you know, it's always been a labor of love and a very difficult business. I didn't think that what I was saying was necessarily extra depressing, but some people found it so, and partly simply because it is depressing to look at these things from a kind of sociological or economic point of view instead of, you know, as we often like to and should do, from the point of view of pure artistic inspiration.
In this collection, writers from Maria Adelman to George Saunders to David Foster Wallace write about the two roads aspiring writers tend to walk. Now, how, Chad, would you describe those two roads in summary?
MFA is, you know, a lot of people now get MFAs. If there were 30 MFA programs in the early 80s, today there are 400 and some. You know, so it's a booming occupation and business. There are so many programs and you know, increasingly jobs available within those programs. And so it's become a kind of world unto itself that a lot of young writers kind of orient themselves toward, and have ambitions within that world to land a good teaching job. The other world, the world of New York, is kind of two things. It's, you know, it's both the young writer who moves to New York to make connections and kind of live in the kind of intellectual ferment that I think New York still possesses, and it's also the trade publishing industry.
I want to go further with this explosion of graduate-level writing programs over the past few decades. How do you think that has changed the way that writers feel about job security, and does that have any effect on how people write?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, job security is a kind of a crucial phrase, I think, because you know, writers, even those who have, you know, made a big sum of money off a single book, say, have never had much job security. It's always a freelance job. You're always on to the next project, and not sure if you're ever going to finish that project. You know, and so the growth of the university writing system, you know, has been a boon for writers in terms of security. I mean, it's, you know, it's the place where a writer can have health insurance that's you know, paid for by a company called a college, you know, and a gym membership and a stable income, you know, and that kind of stability, I think, can be exceptionally good for creativity. You know, there's a kind of romance of the starving artist, but in fact, it's not easy to think about your art when you're
starving.
When you're really focused on how you're going to pay your rent. You know, but of course, there is a kind of dark side to it, if you will, because these teaching jobs, although you can only get one by being a writer, the job, of course, is not writing. And so you suddenly, almost accidentally, have a pretty, consuming full-time job that is not actually that thing that you really want to be doing.
Mm-hmm. In fact, some of the essays in this book kind of portray that cushy academic job. You know, the writing programs is undisciplined. The summer makeout camps run by people much more concerned about their own writing than teaching, and others that consider the immersion and room to spend so much time thinking about and talking about writing that you get in a graduate writing program as really beneficial. Any points that stuck out for you on either side?
On the student side, there's a very good essay in the book by Maria Adelman, who you mentioned earlier, who just finished her degree at the University of Virginia. And this is the University of Virginia is a funded program. And so, the MFA students are not paying tuition. And in fact, they even are getting a little stipend to help them pay their rent. She writes very well about all the ways in which even when she wasn't writing in this program, she had this kind of time and space away from economic pressure, to kind of develop as a person and as an artist. And this is something I too always say to, people like college students or people who have recently graduated from college who, ask me about MFAs. I always say, don't pay for it, because it's not a business degree. It's not a degree that is necessarily going to lead to anything, to a job, a career. The way to approach it is as kind of time and space to work on your writing, and that's best done if you are not paying tuition.
We're talking about the roads often traveled by fiction writers in America with Chad Harbach. He's editor and founder of N+1 magazine. He is also the editor of a compilation called MFA versus NYC, The Two Cultures of American Fiction. It has stirred up a lot of conversation among the literary set. And that's a question for you, Chad. The essays have been written by smart, often very funny people, writing about their own experience. But, it can come off as writers talking to other writers. And ultimately, writing is about the product, right? Whether MFA writing programs are pounding the pavement in New York, does it matter to lovers of fiction? Does it matter when we're talking about the product of what's coming out, the books?
Well, it does matter at a broad level. I always think that, as a society, we're going to sort of get the writers who we deserve. For instance, if we put as much kind of time and effort as a society into fiction writing as we did into, say, playing basketball, then our fiction writers would be just as great as our basketball players, who are really great. On a more specific level, I think that, there is a way in which the MFA programs as a whole have influenced American writing, but it's very it's very difficult to actually say in what ways that has happened, because there are so many kind of influence of the program is so diffuse, and the programs have become so widespread over the past few decades that even a writer who his or herself has not been to an MFA program has been influenced by a lot of writers who have.
Well, one of the writers in your collection, one of the essay writers in your collection, Elif Batuman, worries that we're replacing great literature with something lesser, which she calls excellent fiction. Given that we've been hearing predictions of the death of publishing as we know it in this atomized media age, we've been told it's inevitable for the last couple of years. Do you think that more people are going to be pushing for or flocking toward the patronage, the departmental expense accounts, the health insurance of the graduate writing program?
Yeah, I think it's already happened. The publishing industry kind of works on sort of an all or nothing model, which makes sense according to the dynamics of book sales, because most books either sell a lot or a little, but it makes a lot less sense for the life of the writer. And so, we've seen that, the programs have expanded and writers need and want that security. The publishing industry's demise is constantly being discussed. But still, I have to point out that it hasn't happened yet. And in fact, the past 4 or 5 years have been quite good ones. And the editors and agents and publishers are actually feeling fairly optimistic right now.
Mm. I didn't come away thinking that MFA versus NYC is a Bambi versus Godzilla kind of fight. There's no clear winner here. How about for you, say a bright young writer or an N+1 intern asks you, should I get an MFA at University of Virginia? Well, let's throw that one out because that one they don't pay for. Should I get an MFA at Syracuse or Charlottesville or whatever, or stay in New York and freelance in hope of getting a book deal? What do you say?
I think it can be very valuable. I mean, it depends if, some nowadays there are so many students who do so much undergraduate creative writing, that perhaps they've already taken their share of workshops by the time they've graduated from college. Maybe those types of students should get out of workshops and just hunker down and write. But, if you're like me and I was 25 when I went to do my MFA and I had never had any instruction in creative writing, and I think the instruction was valuable, and I think that, as I keep saying, the time away from a full-time job was valuable. I would recommend it. And there's this kind of rhetoric that surrounds it that, that says, well, instead of getting an MFA, you should live in the real world. Mm. And I wonder what those people think about the life of an MFA student, because I mean, my experience was that I very much was still living in the real world. I just went to class for 6 hours a week.
Ted Harbach, editor and founder of N+1 magazine. He's also author of the best-selling novel, The Art of Fielding. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Virginia. Thanks for having me.
Chad has edited a new collection of wonderfully thoughtful essays called MFA versus NYC. It's kicked up quite a storm in the literary world and otherwise, and you can find links to some of the articles about it and more on the book at wordofmouthradio.org.